Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code GOALS at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code GOALS. Monarch. The modern way to manage money.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Venezuela. Nicolas Maduro, inaugurated as the illegitimate president of Venezuela following an illegitimate vote in 2024. What is to be done? One voice is Maria Corina Machado, an opposition speaker who has been much in the news in these last days because of violence against her. Mary Anastasia O'Grady is the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, and she's here to tell the story of Ms. Machado and why the regime fears Machado so much that after brutalizing her, they walked away. Mary, a very good evening to you. Ms. Machado has been in the news, and you've written about her for many, many, many instances over time, but especially in this critical period where Maduro has grabbed the presidency again after a vote that was corrupted. What happened to her, and what do we know about the regime and Machado? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Maria Corina Machado, as you mentioned, is the opposition leader in Venezuela. She would be the president-elect, except the regime is so afraid of her that it banned her from running in the July 28th election. She passed the mantle to Edmundo González Urrutia, who won the election by a wide margin. But he's in exile now because he didn't want to be arrested. She's been in hiding since August 28th, and she came out of hiding last week in order to defend the results of that election on July 28th. And she was speaking in the eastern side of the city. She was standing on top of a truck addressing a crowd. When she came down from the truck, she had bodyguards. They got on motorcycles. They rode off, and her entourage was attacked by government regime agents. They shot one of her bodyguards. She fell to the ground. She was roughed up and taken into custody. But within about an hour, I would say, maybe an hour and a half, I got a phone call telling me that she had been released or rescued, actually. And so I waited to see if there was any confirmation of this. And about 45 minutes later, sure enough, it popped up on the news that she had been released. And I can tell you a little bit more about that. But in the end, she is back in hiding and physically safe, although probably a little no better off having been gone through this very disturbing event.
Who is Diosdado Cabello?
Diosdado Cabello is now the Minister of the Interior, which is doesn't mean the same thing it means in the U.S. It's basically the Minister of what they call public security. He's has a reputation as a really ruthless gangster whose team, you know, won't hesitate to shoot and kill people. And he used to be in different roles in the government, but now, as I say, he's the Minister of Public Security and is a big mouthpiece for the regime.
You call him the Chief of Repression. Is this active? Does this go on all the time? People kidnapped off the street, brutalized by the regime? Is this routine or reserved for the leadership of the opposition?
Well, in the aftermath of the election, they arrested quite a few people, and that's how they do it. I mean, they go out on the streets, and people who are protesting, they grab them and put them in prison. So there's quite a few people in the Venezuelan prisons right now as political prisoners. I think the opposition estimates about 1,900 people. So it's the method they use. And, you know, any totalitarian or authoritarian government uses a mixture of fear and intimidation to get people to stay in their homes, to keep their heads down, to obey the dictates of the leadership, and not to dissent. And so it's pretty much the practice of the regime. And it's one reason why there's so many people in the opposition, because not only is the economy in very bad shape, but you're not allowed to complain about it or you go into prison.
You have evidenced over many months that the regime is brutal towards its people. Recently, there's been news of release of political prisoners in Caracas, 1,000 here, 300 there. That's paradoxical. Why did that happen?
Well, you know, they let some out. They put other ones back in. You don't read about the other ones that get put back in. So, I mean, I think that they are trying a little bit to see if they can curry favor with some groups or some neighborhoods in the city. But, you know, it's not a significant number of people. I don't know where you heard the number 1,000. I've seen groups of like 100, but, you know, they're also arresting people. I mean, they arrested people last week on the day of the protests. By the way, I should add to your readers, the reason why that protest took place was because the next day was supposed to be Inauguration Day. And on Inauguration Day, the opposition wanted Edmundo González Urrutia to be inaugurated as president. And Maduro was not allowing that. And he swore himself in for another 6 years as dictator. So the Thursday before that day, Maria Corina Machado had called all of the opposition to the streets, to these sort of nationwide protests. And that's where she came out of hiding for the first time since April 28th. And that's when she was grabbed.
All right. So here's the necessary understanding. The regime was currying favor, as you say, by releasing. I might have added zeros to my memory of the reading. And then they brutalized Maria Corina Machado, who cannot have a higher profile than she does. How do these things work, Mary? Why would they, on the one hand, look as if they're softening, and on the other hand, do something that's so vividly unacceptable?
Well, I guess there's two ways to think about that. One is the good cop, bad cop thing, right? So we were very magnanimous. We let your son out of prison. So you have this group of people in a neighborhood who are very happy because some people got out. But she's a very dangerous person for the regime because she's super popular. She hasn't really folded to the fear that they've tried to instill in her. And she keeps telling the public, don't be afraid, go out in the street. This is a classic leadership rule that you have to encourage people to stand up to the oppression. And she's been doing that. And they want to avoid these moments where they have to crack down and it's all on cell phone video and so forth. So they're trying to encourage people to stay home by scaring them. And if you're gonna take Maria Corina Machado, who's the most important leader in the country, out of the game, that's going to scare a lot of people, and it's going to help cut off her voice as a voice for dissent in Venezuela.
That would explain then why it is that Cabello, according to your reporting here, is denying that anything ever happened, because it reads as if the regime is worse than ever, and so he's saying no, they're lying. Is that he's accusing the opposition of lying about the kidnapping?
Yes, he's accusing them of having invented this narrative, and he told the press that she's desperate to be captured because it will be good for her. And of course, that's preposterous. She didn't want to be grabbed. She did everything she could to avoid that. And he came after her, I think, because somebody came after her because they wanted to silence her. But I think in retrospect, a few minutes after it had happened, they realized that this was going to be very bad for them domestically and internationally. And that's why they decided to let her go.
Can we guess that she's not safe in Venezuela? Why would she stay there given this scale of threat?
Well, because she doesn't want to give up. I mean, she wants to keep fighting this fight. She believes that the dictatorship is very close to falling. She believes that the military rank and file and even mid-level officers want this guy gone. And all that has to happen is a spark in a certain moment and he's going to fall. He's much weaker than he appears right now. And so she's not going to give up. She's very committed to that. And that's why she's staying there.
And the man who was elected president, Gonzalez Arrete, is he at risk outside of the country?
Perhaps, but I don't think so. I mean, Venezuela has gone abroad to get people. They went to Chile and famously murdered a member of the military who had fled the country. But, you know, that would be quite a provocative action. I'm not sure where he is right now. I think he was last seen in the Dominican Republic because he did a tour around Latin America. He came to the U.S. He met with Joe Biden. So I think, you know, they don't really need to provoke the West. I think that would give them more problems than it's worth.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the editorial page of The Wall Street Journal.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.